Alrighty. Well, I lost signal. I told David Ray to stay on the podcast if I lose signal, and then I was going to call in. But now he's texting me. So I guess we're going to start over. Because David doesn't know how to listen. Okay, I guess she's going to call back in. So, this is part two of the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. Not that we have any callers or listeners. Hopefully I called back in time to preserve the podcast so I don't got to do two separate recordings, but chances are, whatever. I ain't doing part one, part two. So David will be here in a minute, and we'll do Ron Paul again. Ba-da-ba-pow, wow, wow. I guess she's calling in. I don't know. Hello? Okay. Well, I'm not very good at monologuing. Unless I have something to say, but I don't really have anything to say right now. I'm heading to Stockton from Kansas City. And we're heading back to Kansas City tomorrow. And there he is.
Yes, I almost started the recording again. Which would have stopped it.
You should have just stayed on and monologue till I got back in.
Well, no, I had dead air. There's nothing.
How do you know?
Well, it there's that fuzz in the background whenever you have a live line. We'll find out when you play the recording. It'll be me sounding stupid going, oh, is anybody there? Hello?
Yeah, we'll check it tomorrow.
Yeah, and you'll laugh at me when you find out that I was actually talking. But yeah,
right.
It was just too hollow. There was nothing there. So.
All right, hang on. I'm about to go by highway robber. I'm gonna put the phone down.
Okie dokie. Let me find something to monologue about, like maybe a book to read. Do 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 do. Yes, Explorer. Okay. SD card, reference books, do. Hey, now these are in order. Let me sort this by order.
All right, he's still back there.
Oh, I'm still here. I never found anything to read.
Yeah, highway robber is still back there. He looked at me.
Yeah, well, you know, you looked at him.
Actually, I didn't look at him too much. I looked at him out the corner of my eye. My peripheral vision.
Peripheral vision, and he, like, felt it upon him.
I don't know. It's whatever.
Interesting.
Highway robbery.
I'm missing my directory for Homestead.
But I'm going to warn all the oncoming traffic. The highway robbery is ahead of them. Look out for highway robbery.
That's weird. Couldn't find Homestead, but it's there. Okay.
Highway robbery.
Okay, so I can read you Gaia's Garden next time. All right.
Highway robbery.
Dang it, where are all these? Uh-oh.
Spaghettios.
We have a very, very brave possum. Right. You're in my pocket, people.
Pocket, people.
While I go get my pellet gun.
Pellet gun.
Hey, stop doing that. No pocket dialing. Yeah. Do 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 do.
Warning, warning, highway robbery is ahead of you. Warning, warning, highway robbery.
You flashing people?
I am.
Put that thing away. All righty, let's see if I can still spot this thing. Yeah, it's still sitting there. It climbed up the tree because it figures it's safe up there. Well, at this range, I should be able to nail it right in the face. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I think I made a kill.
It's a possum?
Yes.
Too bad Foggy's not there.
Good thing Foggy's not here. I would not want it to be around for him to eat.
Well, compost accelerator.
I got a campfire going.
That's disgusting.
Well, you know, oh, I didn't kill it. Well, maybe I did, but not as quickly as it should die. Oh, the cats are now interested in blood.
Yeah, well, you don't want the cats to eat possum, do you?
I'm not sure.
Hang on, I'll Google it. Can animals... Ah, crap. My voice thing ain't working. Hang on.
Basically, you want to know if they can get rabies from possums, and, you know, I think that's a distinct possibility. I think the problem is not that I didn't kill him.
Google says.
But his brain is too small to know that he's dead.
Eating meat from rabid animals.
I don't think we have to worry about it because our cats have never eaten the opossum anyway.
Yes, absolutely yes. So possums carry rabies. We don't want the animals to eat the possums.
Okay, I think that did it.
Isn't it inhumane to kill a possum?
It's inhumane to your chickens to leave one alive.
This is true. Oh. So it's self-defense.
Yeah. Also, it's inhumane to your garden to leave one around because, quite frankly...
They'll tear up your garden.
Yeah, they have been.
They'll eat your food. Therefore, they cause harm to you.
Yep. Funny how...
They will steal your food. So, wait a minute. The goats will do the same thing. So we need to kill the goats.
Well, we can fence the goats out.
I know. I'm just playing. Nevada, 26 miles.
Wow, you're pretty close then.
Yeah.
Sounds like I need to shoot one of the cats. Major cat fight going on.
Cat fight.
Yep, I was wrong about the campfire. Alrighty.
Alrighty.
Well. My weapon has come in very useful already.
Yay.
I have defended the homestead.
Yay. Today is a magical day.
How's that?
Well, hang on. I'll tell you how. Go to my calendar. July 29th of 1979 and 1980 are really good astrological matches to my birthday.
Alrighty then.
So if you were born on that year, on that day, call me. But you're probably not listening, unfortunately.
Right, because podcasts like this probably bore the heck out of you. But then again,
Probably not. Okay, hang on. Let's see. July 29th of 1979 is a 66% match, which means they may or may not be born. July 29th of 1980 is a 72% match, which means they would be less bored by this podcast.
Woo!
Yeah. Good luck finding those people.
Cover the podcast.
Huh?
All I have to do is discover the podcast.
Yeah. Fat chance that'll happen.
They'll probably discover it in 10, 20 years, maybe 30, at which point they'll be going, damn, I wish I'd met him.
Right.
Where are these guys now? Oh, we can't find them. Bummer.
Well, if they find the podcast, they'll find us.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But I doubt it. They'll probably never find the podcast. They'll never find us.
They'll probably find it via us showing it to them.
Yeah.
We got to find them first.
Right.
Yeah, you couldn't get Delaney on the podcast, could you?
Oh, more than likely not.
Yeah. See, that's the other girlfriend test.
Well...
Will they talk intelligently on the podcast?
She was so anti-technology, and she was so anti-social media, and she so got too many secrets, there's no way she would air anything on the airwaves.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But I didn't know that. Well, actually, I kind of knew that. And you know what's weird? How accurate the astrology was. It was accurate in how we met, and it was accurate in how we died.
You believe in that astrology bullshit? More than ever now.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But, you know, it's like most people are ones and twos, or, you know, most people we know are ones and twos, so fuck. Unless I find somebody who's at least a five, I'm not getting serious anymore. I'm just going to date and not get serious. If you're less than a five, don't even bother trying to get me serious.
Right on. Single until the day you die.
Pretty much.
I'm just a gigolo everywhere I go.
That's the way to go.
I got weeds in my garden. Hold on.
Yeah, unless they're on my birthday list, I'm not getting serious. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so basically what I realized, we had discussed before the podcast that maybe I drive down here on Wednesday after dropping you off at work, take care of the animals, and then head back the next morning. Next morning doesn't work.
Next morning won't work. I won't be able to get home.
Right. So I got to be back there by the time you get off work. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's doable. It's doable, but wow, I'll be doing a whirlwind.
Yep.
I'll be doing a whirlwind. So mostly it's make sure kitties have been fed. So swing by here, give them two scoops, make sure the goats have water, do whatever else I need to do.
Wouldn't it be cheaper to pay somebody to come feed and water the animals?
Honestly, I don't know of anybody I could rely on to do that.
What about our neighbor, Jeff?
Maybe.
I mean, you know, him and I don't really see eye to eye, but you and he does.
Yeah, but I haven't tested him yet, and I hate to find out my goats were dead because I was wrong about him.
True. So we really don't have anybody.
Not at this point, no. And that's because of my lack of trust. Oh, wow.
Well, okay. I can drive my mom's SUV one day if it's not in the shop that day.
Well,
so we can plan on putting the SUV in the shop, like, say, Thursday.
We need to get your mom's SUV up and running, too. And, oh, I talked about the van with John. It's in the queue. It's just he's got so much that he's doing right now. He's aware that the battery's there, you know, and, you know, he suspects there's going to be a lot of work because, you know, it's a sit tracker. So.
Right, because the last mechanic just screwed off and didn't do the job, even though I paid him to do it.
Yeah, you did pay him. Even bought parts. Did he buy all the parts he said he needed to buy?
I believe he did.
Okay, so at least that part got done.
Yeah, but, at least yeah. the parts are there, but yeah.
Yeah, but he, yeah. Left the, he left the next mechanic the thing that every mechanic wants to see. A part taken completely apart and in pieces. And like, here you go, here's the pieces. Together, please.
Actually, he never took it apart. He only took the axles out, or, you know, the drive lines out, and that was it.
Okay,
he
so that's why John didn't complain too much about the fact that the thing was torn apart, because it wasn't.
Right. No, yeah, he would have not wanted to work on it if it was already taken apart.
Yeah, no mechanic does.
Right.
And they don't want to turn into a half-done job.
Right. No, yeah, he pulled the axles or the drive lines, and but he didn't do anything else after that.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're in the garden. I am going to kick your butt if you start digging in it. Go on. Yeah, Stinky dug a hole and started to lay a gift in the garden. And so I whacked his butt with some of the weeds I just pulled out. And then Shadow came in. He's scouting around looking for a good place to do the same thing. And he knew full well he wasn't supposed to, because every time I stepped toward him, he jumped around like a jumping jack trying to get away from it. Not in the garden. You know better. I'll get that pellet gun, and I'll do you like the possum. All right. Okay, I don't just shoot on sight. I have to look at it carefully, because Siam came trotting up, and I thought I saw another possum.
Now, here's the other thing. You were saying we need to get my mom's truck up and running. My mom's tired of me using her vehicle, so I can't just get my mom's truck up and running and then go take off with her truck and let you have this one back, because my mom's getting tired of that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Same thing with the van.
Especially when I already have a truck and I'm letting somebody else use it and they're not getting their truck fixed.
Well, yeah. Well, good news is finally getting the truck, and it's supposed to be in good, relatively good condition. It's just missing a seal. So
right. The
only big hurdle after that is figuring out how to get it registered in such a way that the New World Order doesn't hunt me down and give me too hard a time.
Right. Which may mean that you might have to comply under duress until you find another loophole.
Well,
and you were saying the church one wasn't going to work?
No, we'll have to make our own church, and probably need to make our own individual churches, one for you, one for me, to make that work. You know, basically the church one, he's got a sister who lives down there. And she's got a sister that lives down there, and it's their family trust. All right. And from what I'm gathering, it's their scam of getting people to pay the property taxes. So the first person that goes to register their vehicle in any given year gets hammered with, well, you can't register your vehicle until these property taxes paid.
Screw that.
Yeah, precisely. And, you know, I got that story from somebody who went through it. And I won't give you any names, but this will probably be, give you a big clue. Ultimately, he said, hey, I need my title back within the week, and if I don't get it back, there's going to be trouble. And so Leon got it back within the week, whereas he didn't do the same thing for everybody else. Now, other people, they're having no problem with it, like Brother Thomas is having no problem with it. Okay? He's doing the same thing. So.
With the same church?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So he's not the first one registering.
No. Now, apparently there has been some problems in the past with not giving the registration back to the person whose vehicle it is, but he's now doing that. He's now giving you the registration, but there will be problems with when you go to register, because when you call them up to re-register your vehicle, they ask you questions, and some of them are along the lines of, are you authorized to do this, and who the heck are you?
Right.
And if you don't have the right answers, you know, you got to go back to Leon and get him to straighten things out. Well, it's always best if you're doing your own stuff.
Well,
it's,
there you
it's
go.
It's always best if you're doing your own stuff. You know?
So create a trust under the Unitarian Church.
Yeah. Yeah, Unitarian Church, Chapter 1, Unitarian Church, Chapter 2, Unitarian Church, Chapter 3, and each chapter is responsible for itself.
There you go.
All right. You know, and, you know, every chapter holder should be well-versed and educated on how to handle their trust. Or trust, multiple.
Plural.
Girl?
Plural.
Plural.
Plural rhymes with squirrel.
Yeah, okay. Yes, and squirrel looks very, very pregnant.
Cool. We need more kids.
Yeah, we'll have a bunch of kittens here. Except she's going to teach her kittens to be paranoid.
Nah.
These cats are funny.
Yeah, they're cats. They'll learn.
These cats are really good to pet them. They back away from me. It doesn't matter which cat. They back away from me if I go to pet them. If I just ignore them, they come up to me to get petted.
That's the way you need to approach women.
Yeah.
You let them come to you.
Yep.
You make your presence known, but you wait for them to come to you, like Random did, and then you snatch them up.
Now, what did I do to get Random to be whatever?
You just was yourself.
Yeah, I was just myself. And she, like, showed up out of the blue, and she's, like, all over me. It's like, but, it's like, you know, I like you. You'd be a great friend, but, no, I'm not going to warm your bed for you. Are you young enough to bear me children? No? Okay, then I'm not going to warm your bed. I'm not. I'll be your friend. We'll, you know, talk and do things, and we're not going to cuddle and kiss. And how come all of a sudden I heard a click? Did you go around me? I think Kano has disappeared. My conversation must have upset him. We will wait for him to return. Okay, meanwhile, I need to find something to read. What? Yeah, we don't need that. Okay. Okay, I'm going to text him saying, "You went away!" Oh, I think he just came back.
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, submit to DungeonsandDragons.com!
Yeah, that was quick. I was about to monologue.
Yeah. I lost signal. Somebody texted.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it's Ray Davis.
Ray Davis? What does he want?
I don't know. Nevada, 4 miles. I'm going by the mushroom place.
Woohoo! Well, yeah, I got to get those websites and, let's see. No, I don't want to burn these good organics. All right, so I'll
We need to bring some empty banana boxes or coconut boxes up so that my mom can fill them with paper and we can bring them back down.
Okay. Well, okay, then we should grab some from the coconut cream factory and bring them up with us.
Okie dokie. Or I'll just go to Price Chopper and get some. How about that?
Okay, that too.
There you go.
We'll need to go Coconut Cream Factory and pick that are there.
Yeah, we need to keep all of our organic matter here.
Okay.
So we can recycle it.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Organic matter.
Yes.
Compost.
You say we need to keep it here.
Yeah, here on the land.
You're on the farm. Okay, that's what you're saying. All right, I got you. Well, you know, you're one of these weird individuals who is in two locations at once.
Yeah.
You have bilocated.
Something like that.
All righty. That's, you know. So you're only about 30 minutes away from here. You'll be here
something
just in
like
time
that.
To watch me light up the campfire.
I'm probably actually more like 45 minutes. It seems like it's 30 minutes from Eldo to our land.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, all right.
It seems that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe because you're usually driving.
What are you saying? That riding with me is a torturous and slow death, or, you know? Yeah, time really does not fly when I'm with you.
Nope.
All right. So really, on Wednesdays, I will not be taking any sort of break whatsoever. I'll be driving down here as quickly as I can, driving back up there as quickly as I can. All right. Well, okay, so you can take advantage of me to stop at Sandy's on the way up if there's something needed. You know? So, I suppose even Gary could take advantage of that. And if I'm making a timely enough pass, there might be a in that town. I might take a look at it.
Gary says, "I'm too good of a tree climber to get lost to the trucking industry."
Well, it's clear that you enjoy that work. So even though you're not paying the bills, you need to figure out some way to be able to pay the bills and do that job.
Yeah, I need more experience before I'm going to be able to do that.
This is true. So maybe you got to suffer through the other job for a while, but you're, you know, now you have a goal.
Well, I was thinking maybe every summer I get off, or every spring, whatever, I get off the road, tree climb for a few months, get some more experience, and go back on the road in the fall. And in that way, I get 3 to 6 months experience every year, and every year I can advance a little bit more till I'm making enough to where I don't need to drive truck anymore.
Well, what you do is you talk to Gary and find out what the best months to work off.
Yeah, July, August, hot. Hang on a second.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, but that's the hottest months of the year.
Well, all right. That was me about to speak. Because I like the heat, okay?
Well, I don't mind it. Gary's like, are you hot?
Yeah.
Gary's like, a lot of times, are you hot? I'm like, a little bit. You know, Gary likes the cold. I like the heat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I do like the heat.
I don't like to sleep in it, but I like the heat.
Oh, godsend, that fan.
Well, I take that back. I do like to sleep in it, but not necessarily. Not if I got a woman with me, but I sleep better if I'm warm. So in the winter, I got the heat turned up.
Well, yeah, in the wintertime, I sit under my blanket. I can get warm in the wintertime without heat. But I don't like to get out from underneath the blankets because, yeah, I don't know. I was raised in Wisconsin, so I can dress for it. But,
right,
you know, I have that skill. I'm just not a cold. I've been spoiled by California for too many years.
Now, see, if I get 10 years, and maybe even 5, because Gary says I can be as good as any other tree climber in half the time. So
yeah.
If I get 5 to 10 years experience, I can make $200 to $300 a day doing tree work.
Yep, and then you'll have me as your ground crew.
That's it.
Hercules!
Yeah, a Splenda experienced climbers are making like $30 an hour.
There you go.
So, I mean, next year I would be an experienced climber, but I wouldn't be experienced enough to make 30. I might start out at 20, which I think I could survive on 20. But, I don't know. Today I just got a raise to 17 because I think he doesn't want to lose me.
Yep.
And 17 puts me just under what I really need. But I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's true. You might tell him what you need, but you might also take into consideration what he needs. You know, because he might not be able to afford to pay you a lot more, you know.
Well, actually, he can. He's just going to have to make sure that he gets paid for the jobs to pay me that.
Right.
Right. Which means he's going to have to do more tree jobs.
Which also means you need to make sure you stay in good health. Have you gotten a hold of some of the Dr. Christopher's and put it together for yourself?
I don't have any.
You need to put some together. You need to start taking it on a regular basis. I need to order some more myself.
Well, I dug out my pill-making machines. I have the gravel root. I'm going to start pilling the gravel root. But I did go out and buy some yucca. I bought some white willow. And I bought another herb that will help me with my arm. I climbed a difficult tree today and did two major cuts. And I was okay. I mean, I was sore, but I was okay. I'm still okay, but I'm still sore. So, you know, I'm plugging along. I'm going to be sore.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, we need to look into that because you need to not be sore all the time.
Correct.
Sore sometimes is fine, but sore all the time is not good. So.
Right. So, but, yeah. Oh, yeah. Another thing I wanted to do this weekend was dig up those yuccas and transplant them to our land.
Okay.
I need them. Same I am.
Oh, okay. Very good. So, yeah. We'll plant them all over the place.
Well,
you know?
On the perimeter. You know,
okay.
The fence line up front.
All right.
And maybe even in the back. Since, you know, we got barbed wire fence in the back, maybe yucca will prevent the animals from going through the barbed wire.
Yeah, we plant them in the bottom of the creek, which would probably drive Jeff a little crazy, but, you know.
Maybe not.
Oh, my goats last night. I got home last night, and I was tired, and I got ready for bed, and I lay down, and all of a sudden my eyes pop open. And the thought in my mind is, you haven't closed up the goats yet. So I went to close up the goats, and guess what? They weren't in their pen.
They were not?
They were not.
Yeah.
So I spent a good 2 hours looking for them. Guess where I found them?
Where?
I found them by the smell of ice. They were in the middle of Glenn's field north of us.
They nested down in the middle of the field?
They nested down in the middle of the field, and they were not responding to my, nah.
Nice.
All right. And part of what made my eyes pop open and realize I hadn't closed up the goats yet was I heard coyotes in Glen.
Oh, right. Sure, they were smelling ice also.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So then when I found them, they were very lethargic. I mean, if the coyotes had found them, there wouldn't have been one left alive because they would just lay there and let the coyotes eat them.
Right.
Yeah. They were, you know, they had bedded down, you know, which is kind of insane. They bedded down in the open where their enemies would find them easily.
Stupid goats.
Stupid goats. Yeah, so, you know. Anyway, needless to say, I woke up a bit late last night, or this morning. But I still got quite a bit done. Smoke, you're stupid. I just lit that 12, fire.
12 miles to Eldo. I'm going to lose signal here in a little bit.
Okie dokie. I have a book. I'm ready to monologue when I lose you. Smoke is standing on top of a wood pile that I just lit on fire. She is surrounded by smoke. Flames are dancing up near her. She is still sniffing around trying to see what she can find on that burning wood pile. I will not be surprised if she does not catch fire herself here pretty quick.
call back in when I get the hello, and then you can monologue again so I get to the land.
Right. Right. So, yeah, if I lose you, call back as soon as you think you can call in. But I'll be reading the, probably the Gaia book. So,
Gaia!
Yep. Okay, I am a little bit concerned about this stupid cat. I'm going to whack it with a... Okay, good. It's just off. I was about to whack it with a paper.
She's ready to go to heaven. All cats go to heaven.
Right. But this one would have gone through hell to get there. Because it would have gone up in flames. Okay, you are really getting funky. Can either give you any more, I'm going to get that book and start reading. Okay. I hear you talking in the background. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. PDF reader.
Do-do-do.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah.
You got that metallic sound in the background of your voice, though.
Yeah. No.
Okay, we want to go landscape. Thank you. Okay, I already read the ultimate bomb-proof mulch. So let's go back pretty much to the beginning of the book. See, I hope this fire actually catches fire. Oh, I lost him. Okay. Yep, he's gone. Okay. Well, boys and girls, the book that I plan on reading has a name that many of my Christian friends cringe at. It's called Gaia's Garden. Okay? It's a home guide. It's a guide to home-scale permaculture. In other words, this is how you can do permaculture on a small scale. It's by Toby Hemenway. That's H-E-M-E-N-W-A-Y. And Toby is T-O-B-Y. Okay, I'm not going to read you the contents. So I'm scrolling through those. Do-do-do-do. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6, table of content, oh, tables. Here's the foreword. Actually, do we want to read the foreword? We might as well. It's by John Todd. Not sure who John Todd is, but I don't know who Toby Hemenway is either. But it does appear to be a very good book. It's got a nice chapter. The bomb-proof mulch garden, which I plan on doing. I'm working on as soon as I can get some water on the land. Okay, as the readers of Gaia's Garden will discover, nature is an extraordinary designer. I teach ecological design to university students, and one of my favorite teaching tools is a simple one. My students collect samples from at least 3 aquatic habitats, such as a wet pool in the woods, an animal wallow on a farm, and a pond or lake, and mix them together in a glass jar. With lids screwed on tightly, the students turn their jars upside down and place them in a sunny window to watch and record the unfolding drama within. I myself have kept such a jar near my desk for several years.
in the presence of sunlight, a microcosm or miniature world begins to organize itself. Tiny bubbles of oxygen congregate under small... I'm being attacked by mosquitoes. That's why I'm pausing so much. That and I stutter naturally when I read. Anyway, okay, tiny bubbles of oxygen congregate under small aquatic plants and on the surface film of the water. Within days, an internal physical structure or architecture starts to evolve, complete with biological zones of activity. Life burrows into the bottom of the sediment zone. Aquatic weeds, fragments at first, grow into miniature forests that reach up into the water column. The water itself teems with diversity of microscopic life. With magnifying glasses, the students discover creatures reminiscent of shrimp and other miniature creatures resembling monsters from one's imagination. The water/air interface is another zone with its own activity. There, tiny insects skate across the thin film, the surface film. The air column above plays its own role, exchanging gases with the water below. At night, when the air column cools, water droplets condense at the top of the jar. Tap it with a pencil, and it rains inside. And the other pause is I got to go up to the top of the next column. Within a few weeks, an observer can notice grazing and predatory cycles. Swimming animals called zooplankton appear seemingly out of nowhere, then disappear to be replaced by other species. Snails lay egg clusters on the walls. The aquatic plants grow into complex shapes to gather light and nutrients. Some plants penetrate the water/air interface and grow up into the air. Algae on the walls create a green carpet that consumes carbon dioxide and saturates the jar with oxygen, with oxygen gas during the day. The snails graze the algal carpet, leaving windows and spiraling paths that let light through to the rooted plants within. The community that adapt within the unique part forest pool, part farm wallow, and part pond. The communities that adapt within are unique. Part forest pool, part farm wallow, and part pond. All the life forms in the jar are familiar to biologists, but the combinations of species are unlike anything in the ecosystems from which they have been derived. Ecologically, they are new. And each of the students' microcosms develop differently from the others. The water and the sediment samples that seed the jar vary from each student, and these differences will affect the life in the jar. Even where the jar is placed on the window will determine their fate. What is perhaps most fascinating and relevant to my tale is that despite their differences, all the glass jar communities have four basic attributes in common. First, they have the ability to self-organize in the presence of sunlight. In darkness or dim light, they do not. Waste products accumulate, and most of the organisms, give me a second for the next page, most of the organisms die. Sunlight generates new, battery dying. I better go charge up. All righty. Give me a second while I reorganize myself. Anyway, with Kano being in Eldo, he should be here within about 20-30 minutes. So, Hopefully he'll be calling in soon. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Here I am, walking around in the dark. I should probably go get my flashlight before it gets too dark. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Yay. Got a nice pink horizon. Noisy bugs. Couple stars in the sky. A moon that's almost... And somebody who just called in. Welcome, caller.
Hello! And welcome to the D&D Podcast, the Myth of DungeonsDragons.com.
All right. Well, that basically means I'll continue my reading at some other time. But right now I'm going and getting my flashlight before it gets too dark to see to get it.
It is too dark to see to get it.
It is?
Well, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of daylight out there.
Yeah, I can see. It will see for much
longer. Yeah.
There's only
no.
A half. Do-do-do.
So it's after 9. Can't go to woods.
But you can.
Are you?
Dollar General.
Dollar General.
You want to come
do
to
they
get
sell
me?
Hot dogs?
Yes, actually they do. I believe they have beef ones.
Beef.
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 Does the body good.
Okay, so we'll go get some beef dogs. And while we're there, how close are you to the farm?
I'm in Eldo.
You're in Eldo. All right. When you get to 39, tell me so that I can head out to the front of the land. But right now I need to charge my phone. I'm under...
Oh, I can't tell you because I won't have signal.
Oh. Yeah, okay, I'll charge until the next time you run out of signal.
There you go. Yeah, because I'll be almost to 39 when I lose signal.
There you go.
And I was actually thinking that maybe we should call in a Kosher Supreme.
Okay. All right, so we'll end the podcast. You disappear again. I will. I will continue to read my book, and then you can come in and grab me.
Yeah, when I get there, I can play the disclaimer on your phone with my phone, and then we can conclude, or we can order the pizza. Oh, and David lost signal. David is gone. And soon, if he doesn't call in time, I will lose signal, and then the podcast will be over. So, yeah. Okay, a word from our sponsors. Guess who the sponsor is? Me! Anyways, check out KCLAI.com. That's like KCLA International, .com. Or, you know, KC is in Kansas City, LA is in Los Angeles, and I as in international, KCLAI.com. We pretty much do just about everything IT. So between my business partners and I, we can do pretty much any of your IT needs. Go to KCLAManagement.com to basically see what I do. TDH web design or TerryDHenderson.com to see what Terry does. And KCIT guy to see what Jamie does. And then David Ray, he does his own stuff, but he's not really included in the IT business, but he can do some IT stuff. So you'll have to find him at daviddavidanddavid.com or David Ray of the Harriet family. harriet.com. And I think it's David Dashray of the Harriet family. And Foggy's calling me. And welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Hey, what's going on down there?
Oh, not much. I'm actually just leaving El Dorado Springs, heading to the land.
Are you?
Yep.
Well, David called me earlier, and I thought, well, since I couldn't get a hold of him, I said, I'll call Kano's number.
Yeah, I think his battery just died. We were doing our podcast, and I'm about to lose signal, so... when I lose you, just call back in about 30 minutes. I'll have signal again.
Okay. Well, anyway, he was asking something about scooters.
Welcome to Scooter Saturday.
There he is.
What? Okay.
Oh, we have a class.
You ask about us. Huh?
Hi, Gary.
No, it's not Gary. It's Foggy.
Oh, hi, Foggy.
Hi.
How you doing?
You was asking something about a scooter down in Belton. I'm not in Belton, the opposite direction of Belton. I'm about halfway between Buckner and Lexington.
Butler and Lexington. I think the place was in Butler.
Oh, in Butler?
Yeah, I may have said it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said Belton, but you said, you know.
Belton's closer to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, Belton's
well, what kind of scooter? Was it a secondhand or a new one?
Well, supposedly
yeah.
There's a guy there that rebuilds them. So it would be secondhand, but it would be, you know, pretty close to as good as new.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I don't know of anybody down here. You know, I know of a guy down in, you know, he's in Lee Summit. That's
in the market for one.
Yeah, or in the market. And we'd like to get as cheap as possible. We certainly don't want to pay $1,000 for one, and we don't want one of these no-name Chinese ones. But we did learn that there are some Chinese ones that actually do have a name, you know, that they've been in business for 15 years plus. You know, so, I mean, that's okay. But we don't want any of the fly-by-night ones, you know, the ones that have... They came up with a weird design. It may work fine, but when it does break down, where do you get the parts?
Yep, that's it. That's what's wrong with most of the China scooters. They ain't worth 2 cents. And they're getting anywhere between $1,000 to $1,500, you know, for a new one, you know. But...
Okay, I know why Foggy faded away. Okay, I'm going to go back to that book that I was trying to read earlier. Because... Okay, I'll hit the dead zone. I'd like to at least finish the foreword. Okay. Okay, so I'll back up. This last paragraph splits the page, so it's a little hard to switch real quickly. And the page has not loaded up at all. I gotta wait for that too. There we go. Page is loading. Okay. What is perhaps the most fascinating and relevant to my tale is their tale here is that despite their differences, all the glass jar communities have 4 basic attributes in common. First, they have the ability to self-organize in the presence of sunlight. In darkness or dim light, they do not. Waste products accumulate and most of the organisms die. Sunlight generates nutrient cycling. Gases exchanged, growth, organizing, growth, grazing, predation, death and decay, and ecological dance.
Secondly, self-organization leads to self-design. A living architecture is formed where light, space, and limits of the jar interact with all the life within. The jar's inhabitants occupy the space optimally. Self-design leads to a beauty and deep aesthetic and a deep aesthetic within the jar that an observer immediately senses. Thirdly, these microorganisms can repair themselves. If a window blind is left closed and the sunlight blocked for several days, the ecosystem within will collapse. But if the jar is returned to the light soon enough, the living system will begin to reorganize itself. The self-repair process generates a new system, usually different than the one from which it was derived. The attribute of self-repair is essential to the stability of the system. Perturbations, whether they are hurricanes, drought, or toxic assault, happen in all systems. But life in concert has the mechanism to adapt. A final characteristic of microorganism, of the microcosm, is the ability to self-perpetuate. The microbial life within the jar produces over time periods measured by minutes for bacteria, hours for algae. Higher forms perpetuate their species in days or weeks. Cycles wax and wane with the seasons, but with any luck, the system will persevere. Blech. If I was actually reading this book for a permanent recording, I would probably have erased that. Anyway, in the jar on my office desk, the microcosm has been unfolding for years. Over time, some of the original life forms have gone extinct. For the small size of the jar tests the limits of life working in concert. Yet, as a whole, the system is amazingly persistent. The miniature ecosystem that I am looking into now, as I write, may well outlive me. The Lilliputian world within the jar has a real power. It reveals nature as designer. Ecologists have begun to decode the language of natural systems in a larger scale than in my jar. For the rainforests, coral reefs, mangrove swamps, prairies, deserts, lakes, and northern forests, they are deciphering principles of natural design. This knowledge embodies the genius of evolutionary time and the collective experience of all life as a whole system. Unlike the title of this book, it is Gaian knowledge. Like the title of this book, it is Gaian knowledge. Seeing the world as an ongoing process of ecological design transforms how one approaches the basic problem of supporting humanity. Ecological knowledge is now being used to develop new living technologies that can repair damaged environments and recycle waste into beneficial new products. These eco-technologies are beginning to influence the design of infrastructures for human communities. In Gaia's Garden, author Toby Hemingway takes this thinking a powerful step forward by bringing living systems intelligence to the household.
The book sets forth the radical notion that ecological design, applied at the level of the home, can utterly transform how landscapes are sustained and humans fed. This book provides a genuine alternative to the contemporary industrial slash global machine, which extracts resources and exploits humans and landscapes for its own ends and means. If the ideas presented here are widely adapted, then we have the possibility of foraging a culture based upon earth stewardship. In my opinion, ecological design is developed in Gaia's garden, represents the only long-term hope for humanity. Gaia's garden owes its heritage to the permaculture teachings pioneered by Bill Mollison and David Holmgren over the last quarter century in its quiet and wise way. This book outlines a radical redesign for the future of gardening and agriculture, organized around the basic premise that in the growing of foods and the crafting of landscapes, it is possible to substitute ecological information and human stewardship for today's dependence on capital, hardware, chemicals, machines, genetically engineered organisms, and destructive technologies. Hemingway shows us that the task of restoring the earth begins with our own gardens. Hallelujah. One of our favorite tales from the book embodies the worldview of the ecological designer in practical ways. Through what Hemingway terms polyculture and what I call gardening in the image of the meadow. Wow, this is actually could be quite long. I'm not sure if I can finish this in a timely fashion. Let me see. Okay, this is the last page. I'm sorry. Let me get the last paragraph again. One of my favorite tales in the book embodies the worldview of the ecological designer in practical ways. Through what Hemingway terms polyculture and what I call gardening in the image of the meadow, instead of the often back-breaking labor that goes into tilling, sowing, weeding, and chemically controlling a conventional vegetable garden, Toby Hemingway's meadow-inspired food garden works on totally different principles. It provides its own fertilization, has internal weed suppression and pest control mechanisms, and manages its internal moisture levels through dry times and wet, functioning as a self-organizing ecology. The cycle begins about 1 month before the last frost, when the gardener prepares the garden bed with sheet composting or mulching. After the last frost, the gardener broadcasts seeds of radish, dill, parsnip, calendula, and many varieties of lettuce over the garden, and spreads 1/4 inch of compost over the seeds. That's it. Then nature goes to work. After 4 weeks, the radishes are ready for harvesting. Cabbage seeds can fill the holes they leave. Cabbage seedlings can fill the holes they leave. By 6 weeks, the dense lettuce crop begins yielding, some of these words are kind of blurred, so it takes me a while to to get right. Mesclum, I'm not sure if I read that right, leaving other lettuce varieties to grow to full size over the next several months. When the soil warms up in late spring and early summer, bush beans and buckwheat take the space formerly occupied by the lettuce. Dill and calendula, whose flowers are edible, are harvested next. The cabbage varieties mature over an extended period, and by I can't quite make out this word. And by fall, the parsnips are ready to be to harvest. Now the page has to reload. Give me a second. The gardener pokes garlic cloves and fava beans into those newest openings to be harvested the following year. The polyculture provides enough botanical diversity to control pests and disease, as well as to protect the plants from excessive rain and drought. Variations on the polyculture theme throughout the book expand the meaning of gardening from the traditional battle to control nature to the conscious and conscientious attempt to imitate and recreate natural systems in the backyard. Gaia's Garden shows how ideas and patterns from nature can be blended and integrated to create larger systems. These larger systems, in turn, connect with each other to create self-tending and co-evolving garden landscape. I believe Kano's in the background. I'm almost done with this introduction.
I'm at 39 and K.
You're at 39 and K, so you're almost at the farm. So I'll finish reading this, and then we'll play Ron Paul and call that it.
Are you at the kitchen?
Yeah, I am at the kitchen. I'm actually in the box for charging the phone. All right, so I'll finish the introduction here.
Okey-doke.
Okay, ecological design is predicated upon place. Each garden, each valley, and each region is different. These differences in the hands of an earth steward can be honored and used toward creative and diverse ends. Each garden is a reflection of the potential of place and the intimacy with which the gardener can connect with the needs and latent forces of the land. Earth wisdom becomes an expanding universe for the seeker into the garden until the garden becomes an Eden where the gardener and garden exist in true harmony. The world we dream of, sustainable and beautiful, takes shape in the ecological garden. Gaia's Garden is the finer place to begin.
Ecological or ecological?
Yeah. You give me a hard time. Tomato or tomato? Potato or potato?
El Dorado or El Dorado?
Amish or Amish?
Nevada or Nevada?
Yeah. Nevadans are ignorant of how to pronounce their own name.
Monet or Monette?
Monet or Monette? Yep. All right, so can you play us Ron Paul?
Yeah, hang on.
They're waiting for Ron Paul, who he tried to play earlier and then suddenly went away. I can hear his truck approaching now. He's coming down on our...
This week's expected vote to add more sanctions on Russia, Iran, and North Korea is a prime example of how little thought goes into U.S. foreign policy. Sanctions have become kind of an automatic action the U.S. government takes when it simply doesn't know what else to do. No matter what the problem, no matter where on earth it occurs, the answer from Washington is always sanctions. Sanctions are supposed to force governments to change policies and do what Washington tells them or face the wrath of their people. So the goal of sanctions is to make life as miserable as possible for civilians, so they will try to overthrow their governments. Foreign leaders and their elites do not suffer under sanctions. The policy would be immoral even if it did work, but it does not. Why is Congress so eager for more sanctions on Russia? The neocons and the media have designated Russia as an official enemy, and the military-industrial complex and other special interests want to continue getting rich, terrifying Americans into believing the propaganda. Why, just weeks after the White House informed that Iran is abiding by its obligations under the nuclear treaty, does Congress pass additional sanctions anyway? Washington blames Iran for destabilizing Syria in Iraq by helping them fight ISIS and al-Qaeda. Does this make any sense at all? When is the last time Iran committed a terrorist attack on our soil? It hasn't. Yet we learn from the declassified 28 pages of the Congressional 9/11 report that Saudi Arabia was deeply involved in the 2001 attacks against Washington and New York. Who has funded al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria for years? Saudi Arabia. Yet no one is talking about sanctions against that country. This is because sanctions are not about our security. They are about politics and special interests. Why is Congress poised to add yet more sanctions on North Korea? Do they want the North Korean people to suffer more than they are already suffering? North Korea's GDP is half that of Vermont, the U.S. state with the lowest GDP. Does anyone believe they are about to invade us? There is much talk about North Korea's ballistic missile program, but little talk about the 30,000 U.S. troops and weapons on North Korea's borders. For Washington, it's never a threat if we do it to the other guy. Here's an alternative to doing the same thing over and over. Let's take U.S. troops out of North Korea after 70 years. The new South Korean president has proposed military talks with North Korea to try and reduce tensions. We should get out of the way and let them solve their own problem. If Iran and Russia want to fight ISIS and al-Qaeda at the invitation of their ally Syria, why stand in the way? We can't run the world. We're all out of money. President Trump was elected to pursue a new kind of foreign policy. If he means what he said on the campaign trail, we will veto this foolish sanctions bill and begin dismantling neocon control of his administration. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-222-1414, every Sunday.
Yeah.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Oh, that I can hear clearly. But Ron Paul himself, I couldn't hear.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
All right. So, yeah.
We need more sanctions.
If there was any validity to the authoritarian governments in the first place, they shouldn't be reaching out and interfering with other authoritarian governments. You know, so... You know, it's a power play. You know, they try to control the people within their quote-unquote borders, and they try to control the other authoritarian states as well. You know, it's all power play. It's all messing around with somebody else's life. And we're really not supposed to do that. So, you know, and he's right. You know, we mess around. This government messes around with North Korean government. Well, the North Korean government doesn't suffer. It's the people of the North Korean government that suffers. You know, it's silly. It's a horrible and awful game. You know. All right, that's my two cents.
We need more sanctions.
Yeah, let's sanction the sanctions. That'll work.
Hey, that's a good idea.
All right, I'm going to unplug my charger. I have 15%. That means this phone will die in about 3 minutes or less.
Hurry up, run over here and plug it in.
Well, we could do that, or we could just call it into the podcast and say goodnight, folks.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye!
Oh, my gosh, that sounded horrible.
You're welcome.
All righty. Oh, yeah, my campfire's going really nicely. All righty. So.
So what?
So, good night. Can I give the standard callback next week thing?
What?
Can I give the standard callback next week thing?
No, hang on, come here.
We got echo factor going on. I'm about to hang up.
No, don't hang up. Don't hang up! Yeah, I didn't do the weird echo thing like we did. Oh, well. Stay online.
We got... Oh, there we go.
Stay online.
All right, I'm online. Yeah, you were fading out something awful. Well, Ron Paul was.
Trying to think. Oh, wait.
Jay's getting ready to call in yet again.
No, I'm not. Is there audio?
Oh, he's looking for the disclaimer.
Yeah.
We're going to play the disclaimer at the end of the show.
Yeah.
To the beginning.
Yeah.
So the New World Order can't say we didn't play it.
Yeah. If I can find it.
What's his name? Yeah, how many minutes do we got until my phone dies? Maybe I better plug it in. I am at 14%.
Go plug in. Go plug in. Go plug in.
I'm at 14%.
Oh. Good.
Yeah.
Disclaimer.
Okay, we're
plugged in. Yay,
podcast has been saved.
Crap. Crap. I know I have it in here.
Yeah, we need to memorize it.
We're not manimal. I'm a manimal, though. Maminal. I'm a maminal.
You're a maminal?
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
Ooh, they like me a bit. Should I play it?
Oh, okay.
Not on the podcast. Never knew.
Never knew.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yep, yep, yep.
So Mimi and Shadow are like walking side by side now, almost like... Almost like Snow and Shadow.
Well, I guess I don't have it anymore.
Oh, no. He's going to have to redo his disclaimer podcast.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Let me go to the website and re-download it.
Oh, boy.
D&D podcast.
So instead of a girl, he now has a Mormon angel on his...
Not a Mormon angel. It's the warrior as a child.
Oh, okay.
Thing, because I used to sing that song when I was a kid.
Well, they used to have it in the Mormon churches a lot, or the semi-Mormon churches.
Yeah, I used to have Delaney's picture on my thing.
Yep. Well, you know, if you're going to have that up there, you might as well have Kim's picture up there.
Yeah, screw that. I'd rather have Delaney's.
He's looking, and he wanted me to download it. He can't even find it.
I know it's here, like, not very far from the top page.
Do find it. There
it is.
And? What the heck?
Display more. Just went there.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I can't listen. Okay. Oh, here's the download button.
Downloading.
Download. Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and/or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical de facto government, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and/or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor, only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Men and/or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah, come tell your human about us.
Yay!
You read that it,
where?
Okay, we're good.
Good night, folks.
We're going to order our pizza now.
Woo-hoo!
Our kosher situation.
Yeah. Which means I should hang up. Goodbye, folks.